Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Come on. Wow, what a joy it is to gather with all of you on this Resurrection Sunday. And today we're going to be talking about why we would even gather for an occasion like this. You know, why would we fill a parking lot full of people on a Sunday morning? I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen from the dead. Nearly 2,000 years ago, on a Sunday morning, yes, Jesus did what he said he would do. Jesus defeated sin and death by dying on a cross and by rising again on the third day. And the Bible gives us the historical eyewitness testimony of that reality. Can we say amen to that? Oh, so good. Well, this morning, if you have a Bible, I want you to open it with me to Matthew chapter 28. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, no worries, but please, if you would, go over here to one of our connection tables and pick one up before you leave today. It's our gift to you because, you know, the Bible tells us about the greatest gift that we can receive. The Bible tells us that because of Jesus, we can receive the gift of eternal life. And Matthew chapter 28 tells us exactly how that incredible gift can be given to you. And I'm going to tell you about that today. And I believe that there's some people who are going to receive this gift of eternal life on this Sunday morning. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, which tells us about the first Easter Sunday. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." So this is Matthew's account of what took place on the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. And we know that it was a Sunday because Matthew says that it was after the Sabbath. And Sabbath was Saturday. It's the day when God's people would rest from their work. And so Sunday was just a normal day. It was the first day of the work week, the sort of day where you would just be going about your usual business. But on this particular Sunday morning, right around the time when the sun begins to rise, and are you guys feeling the sun on your faces right now? Is it a little bit hot? Yeah, I bet. I'm in the shade. But hey, they are. You guys, you're really paying attention. Some of you guys are struggling right now. No, but truly, the sun rose on that Sunday morning, and two women who were both named Mary got started with their week. And you know, you got to think about it. They had a pretty rough weekend. Their friend Jesus had just been executed on a cross. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb of their friend Jesus. And by the way, I don't think they called her the other Mary. It's just that Jesus had a lot of disciples who had the same common names of that day. And I wonder how that happened. You know, the Marys got together and one of them's like, "I'll be Mary Magdalene, you can be the other Mary," right? But we're told that these two women named Mary were followers of Jesus of Nazareth. And if you just think about that name, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a common man from a common village in Israel called Nazareth. But Jesus of Nazareth showed himself to be more than a man. Jesus is God. Jesus is God who became a man so that he could redeem humanity to himself. In Matthew chapter 27, it says that these women watched from afar as they saw Jesus hanging upon a cross. We're told that these women watched as a man named Joseph of Arimathea wrapped the dead body of Jesus and laid him to rest in a never-before-used tomb. We're told that the women sat opposite of the tomb. They saw as Jesus was laid into the grave. Now, why does Matthew give us details about what these women witnessed, what they saw over that weekend? Well, because Matthew is telling us the gospel story. And the gospel story has several key details. The gospel is not a made-up story that was created by our own imaginations. The gospel is historical record about Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And the reality of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, you got to listen, it is well documented. That's why I say, before you leave today, if you don't have a Bible, you should get one. Because the Bible tells us that these women saw firsthand as eyewitnesses three essential facts of the gospel. These women saw Jesus crucified. You know, Jesus died on a cross to pay for the price of our sins so that we can be forgiven. These women saw Jesus buried. Jesus was laid in a tomb that had never been used. It was only borrowed because he only needed it for 3 days. And these women saw Jesus risen. You know, Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday morning. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are the core truths of the gospel message. And that word gospel, if you're not familiar with it, it simply means good news. And this is very good news that I'm telling you today. Jesus died. He was buried. And he rose from the dead just as he said he would. And if you believe this testimony of the Son of God, the Bible says you will receive eternal life. And maybe you've come here today and this is not what you were expecting to find. Well, you're in good company. Because Mary and Mary were not expecting to find what they found when they arrived at that tomb on a Sunday morning. Verses 2 and 3 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow." So Matthew's providing us with a few more details here about what happened on that Sunday morning. He says, "Behold," which is kind of the way of saying, like, check this out. This is pretty incredible what happened. Right at the dawn of a new week, an earthquake happens. And now look, we live in Los Angeles, so we're pretty familiar with earthquakes, right? I was at the gym on Monday and everyone's phones started going off with an alert. It was just buzzing and blaring, and there was this earthquake alert. And the message that appeared on our phones and on my watch said, "Stop, drop, and take cover." But as I looked around, no one seemed to be fazed by it. I mean, I was just seeing guys continuing to lift like hundreds of pounds of weights over their head, like, earthquake, like, what a big deal, right? And so an earthquake's not that big of a deal for us Californians. Oh, but an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Now I've got your attention. Like, well, you know, I am from Los Angeles, the city of angels, so not that big of a deal either. But listen, if you saw an angel of the Lord, you would stop, drop, and take cover. The earth was shaking on that morning. And as the people looked up to see what might be falling down, they looked up and they saw an angel from heaven descending. And it says that his appearance was like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. And he was coming down from heaven. And then with little to no effort, this angel comes and he rolls back the stone that covered the entrance of the tomb of Jesus. And then he just posted up there. You know, he just sat there on this massive stone like, "What's up?" And if you think about that stone that covered the tomb, it would have been impossible for those two women, you know, "Hey, Mary, you get that side, I'll get that side. And let's move this together." It would have been impossible for those women to move, even an inch. But for that angel, it was light work for a Sunday morning, and then he rested. Oh, behold, this was not an ordinary Sunday morning. Verses 4 and 5 says, "For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified.'" When that angel came down from heaven, and when he rolled back the stone that covered the tomb, he just sat there, dazzling in his super bright white Easter outfit, you know? You guys all look pretty good right now. But as he sat there, there were these Roman guards that saw what was happening, and they had been hired by the religious leaders of that day who wanted to put Jesus to death. They were hired to make sure that no one got in and no one got out of that tomb. But when they saw this mighty angel of God, they were struck with absolute terror. Those tough guards dropped to the ground, and it says that they became like dead men. But the angel looked right past those guards and he looked upon Mary and Mary. Which Mary was freaked out more, I don't know. But it says they were both afraid. And so the angel spoke to the woman. He said, do not be afraid. You know, many times in the Bible, we're told not to fear because we have nothing to fear in Jesus. But the women were not expecting this on their Sunday morning. The angel said to the woman, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. The women went to the tomb that day with very low expectations. And what were they expecting? You know, they were expecting to just go and pay some respects to a dead person. They were gonna go honor Jesus at his grave, bring a few extra spices and gifts to kind of lay there at the grave. But they knew Jesus had been crucified. They saw him hanging on a cross. They knew he had been buried. They watched as he was laid into the tomb. But on Sunday morning, they certainly were not expecting to find that tomb empty. They were not expecting to meet Jesus on that morning. He had died by crucifixion. And listen, that might be the case for some of you here this morning. You came here today with pretty low expectations. Maybe your expectations are still pretty low right now, and I believe that God wants to raise them because Jesus was raised from the dead. And if you came here this morning, I'm glad you're here. You know, I believe you came for a reason, and if I can say, I think I know why you're here. You're seeking Jesus who was crucified, aren't you? Oh, you're like, no, you don't know who I am. Oh, but if at the very least you came here this morning to show some respect to a friend, maybe you came here to honor a family member who really wanted to spend Easter with you. But you're here, aren't you? You're here for some reason, and you're hearing about Jesus. And look, Jesus is alive whether or not you're seeking him today. But the Bible says that if you seek Jesus, you will find him because he wants to be found by you. Now, this angel gave the announcement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in verse 6. He says this, he's not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. You know, why did God send an angel to the tomb that morning? I can tell you this, it was not so that they could let Jesus out of the tomb. Jesus raised himself from the dead. He didn't need any help from an angel. Jesus wasn't stuck inside the tomb like, hello, anybody out there? No, he wasn't hoping for someone to let him out. Jesus had already risen earlier that morning and he was out and about, and Jesus would just go, I imagine with a smile on his face as he was greeting all of his friends and followers, appearing to them in the most special kind of way. The reason God sent an angel to roll back the stone from the entrance of the tomb was so that people could come and see the place where he was laid. And all through that morning, that tomb was visited to verify if Jesus was there or not. And every single person who went to look inside that tomb found it empty. And so the question is, if Jesus was not in that tomb, then where was he? This is when things start getting fun. The angel reminded the women that Jesus said he would raise himself from the dead. The angel said he's not here, for he is risen. And notice, as he said. The Bible says that on three separate occasions, Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus said that he would die on a cross. Jesus said that he would be buried in a grave. And Jesus said that he would raise from the dead on the third day. And listen, this proves to us that Jesus does exactly what he says he will do. And you and I, we don't always do what we say we will do. We miss the mark on that all the time. We can be so fickle in our commitments. We can be so lacking in our character. And the Bible calls that sin. But Jesus is always faithful to do what he says he will do. And I want a God like that. I want a God that I can trust in, who will always follow through on what he says. You know, there's no other religion in the world whose founder said, I will die for my followers, and then I will be raised back to life, and then actually pulled it off. Only Jesus is the one who can say, I died and rose again just as I said I would. This is because Jesus is not the founder of a religion. He's the creator of all things. Jesus is God who became man so that he might save you and I to himself. So look, the women came to the tomb that morning and they saw that it was empty. And I'm telling you today, you can come and see for yourself that the tomb is empty. You might be asking, well, how can I do that? Didn't this happen 2,000 years ago? Well, the Bible has given us eyewitness testimony. The Bible is a historical record, and we believe historical records all the time. The Bible is eyewitness testimony. You know, there was at one point where over 500 people saw Jesus risen from the dead. It's hard to get 500 people to agree on a single thing. And yet, they all agreed they saw him alive. It's a fact, and it is good news to those who believe it. And if Jesus is really alive, do you know what that means? It means that his death accomplished its intended purpose. Jesus died on a cross to forgive you. And the resurrection is the proof that you can be forgiven today. Jesus died on a cross to redeem you, to pay the price that your sin demands. And the Bible says that the price of sin is death. And someone had to pay that price of sin. You could either pay that price yourself or you can let somebody else do it for you. And Jesus says, I will take that price for you. Jesus said that his death would satisfy the penalty that your sin and my sin deserves. And if you come seeking Jesus today, if you seek the one who is crucified, do you know what you'll find? You'll find that you can be forgiven today because he's alive. It's true. And I'm telling you that you will find him if you seek him today, because many others have found him. Jesus transformed my life. And I'm telling you today, you can find love in the Savior, and he promises to forgive all those who believe in him. Can I get a witness for that? Like, really, actually, I mean that in all sincerity. If you know Jesus as your Lord, friend, and Savior, would you say so right now? Do you believe in Jesus? I mean, for that many people to agree on that is pretty incredible. And in just a moment, I'm gonna give an opportunity for anyone who wants to know Jesus in this way. But first, I wanna tell you about the two ways that you can respond here this morning. You know, Jesus is real. His resurrection is real. His forgiveness is real. His salvation is real. But you have to believe it to be real. You have to be honest with where you're at today. We say at this church all the time, bring the real you to the real Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's real. But the real you, that can change. And you can change today. You can go from not believing in Jesus to believing in him. You can go from being a sinner who is lost to a saint who has been found in Christ. You can be changed today. And the angel and the women and the guards, they were all certain that Jesus had risen. The angel said, check it out for yourself. Come, see the place where he lay. Everyone on that Sunday morning knew it was true. There was plenty of evidence. You can look on and on. I haven't been able to have a sufficient amount of time because I see that the sun is beating on your faces. I could go on and on about the evidence for the resurrection. It could go on and on, but listen, just as much as the sun is shining upon you right now, Jesus is alive and his love shines upon you. And he wants you to receive him. And the angel said, check it out for yourself. But there's some who believed what was said and there's some who rejected it. The angels represent those who believed. In verses 7 and 8, look at what it says. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. The women are examples of those who got up and moved. And they went quickly with urgency to go and tell the truth about Jesus. There was a mixture of both fear and joy. They had fear. They're like, could this really be true? But there was also great joy. Oh, we believe it's true. And if this is true, then it changes everything. But then there were those who rejected the news of the resurrection. We see that in verses 11 through 15. While they were going, behold, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. The guards are examples of those who tell lies about Jesus. Remember, those guards saw and heard everything that the women did. But as the women went to go and tell the disciples what they had seen and heard, the guards went to tell the religious leaders about it. And the religious leaders had hired the guards over that weekend, giving strict orders. Like I said, no one gets in, no one gets out. The Pharisees said in Matthew chapter 27, verse 36, we remember how that imposter said, while he was still alive after 3 days, I will rise. Isn't that pretty amazing? That even the religious leaders who killed Jesus knew that Jesus does what he says. They said the disciples might come steal the body. The religious leaders were more convinced about the resurrection than the disciples were. Do you notice something? The disciples aren't even present that morning. And so they're saying the disciples stole the body. They came by night and we were all asleep. And so they came and they moved the stone and they took the body of Jesus and they're hiding him somewhere and they're making up this whole fabricated story that Jesus is risen from the dead. But how does their story fall apart? Well, how do you know it was the disciples if you were all sleeping? You know, so many people have tried to discredit the resurrection. You can't. It's true. But you know, when those guards saw the angel, you know what it said? It says they became like dead men. But I want to tell you when they really became like dead men. It's when they lied about the resurrection. But what do you expect from spiritually dead people? Listen to me, if you don't know Jesus, the Bible says you're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead people choose to follow lies instead of the truth. Spiritually dead people choose to love money instead of loving God. Spiritually dead people choose self-sufficiency over surrender to Jesus. Spiritually dead people live in fear instead of the great joy that is found in the risen Christ. Spiritually dead people don't like being told that they're spiritually dead. But if you don't know Jesus, it's true. You're dead. You're dead in your trespasses and your sins, and only Jesus can forgive you. The religious leaders told the guards to go tell lies about the resurrection. They said the disciples stole the body. But if that was true, all they would have to do was simply produce the body of Jesus. Come and see, here's the body of Jesus, he's dead. But no one found that body. Why? Because you can come and see. He's not here. He has risen. All kinds of stories have been made up to try to discredit the resurrection. Maybe the tombs got mixed up. Maybe he didn't die. Maybe he fainted on the cross and he came to 3 days later. But the reality of the resurrection has stood the test of time. And if the dead body of Jesus had been found, this would all have ended so quickly. But 2,000 years later, more than 1,500 people are here on a Sunday morning. Why? Because the tomb was empty. Because God is risen. Jesus is alive. And Jesus said he will meet with anyone who believes this good news to be true. And so I'm going to invite you right now to respond in faith to what you've just heard this morning. I've told you today that Jesus died and was buried and rose again just as he said. I told you that you can come and see for yourself that the tomb is empty. It really is true. And you can respond like the women today and you can get up quickly with urgency and you can come forward and you can respond to the truth, or you can be like the guards and you can suppress the truth and you can remain in unbelief today. But how you respond to Jesus doesn't change the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done. But God's inviting you to come today. Come and see that he is risen just as he said. Jesus said that he will save anyone who comes to believe in him. And I believe that there's some here today who are gonna choose that. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to do that right now. If I can end on one last thing that Jesus said, a promise from him. It's a promise for you today if you haven't believed in Jesus today. It says this in John 3:16. Maybe you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. 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 Let me pray. God, I'm asking right now that your Holy Spirit would move in this place, stir in the hearts of people who have yet to believe in you, Jesus, and that they would respond to you this morning like those women responded to the good news that Jesus was alive. They got up quickly with urgency to go and say, this is true. Jesus is alive. Lord, I pray, God, that there would be people in this moment right now that respond to this message with faith. There's enough evidence. There's enough people who believe this to be true. I pray that there would be some who come right now and make it true for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.